JC2S, Part 2. Number 11B.
All right, so we go on now this morning with Life is Spirit, looking at the whole subject always that with the mind that wrote the text is reading the text. Therefore, that only teacher we have is the divine mind, that all-knowing, all-intelligent mind, that mind that knows itself. And as we know, Mrs. Eddy said, when she saw that mind knew itself, the synonyms came. So we see that the textbook in the order of the thousand-year periods enables us to put on the mind of Christ. It's really the flow from the first to the second to the third to the fourth to the fifth, finally to the 6,000-year period where she says, I was a willing disciple at the heavenly gates waiting for the mind of Christ. That the textbook cannot be approached with any other mind but that mind which is God. That's why, again, it's truth's volume at the 6,000-year period. And why at the point of prayer, it's really that mind which is God speaking to the mind in us, the prayer of true desire, and then the spirit which is God speaking to the spirit in us, the prayer of true reflection, or the soul which is God speaking to the soul in us, the prayer of sinlessness, and so on. So it's really that sense always of the Lord speaking to the Lord in us. And that's that David sense. So we go out from that sense of the all-knowing mind. And mind is recognizing mind. Spirit is recognizing spirit. Soul, principle, life, truth, and love are recognizing soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So as we go on then, we see we come to this life is a spirit tonality, and we look then at our what we would be doing with our epitomes. So we get our epitome book out, and we say, all right, now how do I hear this different tones behind that epitome? That was point one. What categories are indicated through the epitomes? So we say, all right, we look at that, and now remember, we always go back to the main point of life, that the one life lifts a dead theology into a living theology. How does that one life lift? Well, the Christ idea comes to us as that life power. So every time we have the Christ spirit, it also has behind itself that it's the Christ idea impelling that life spirit. First of all, as mind, we saw that one life lifts theology from a dead to a living theology by that Christ spirit being revealed only to the receptive thought. And Mrs. Eddy spent a lot of time there with mind showing how that it is not revealed to those who do not support the opposite of life, the idea, because they have an unreceptive thought, the opposite of mind. So more or less, let's not waste our time on such an unreceptive thought, that the Christ Spirit is going to use its channels, the channels that it wants to use, not which people insist that it should come through. Organization, then we know, is deadly because it always puts up its kings and queens that it wants to crown from the royal dynasty. So, therefore, God uses its channels, Mrs. Eddy says, and therefore, at the point of spirit, that Christ spirit, therefore, overcomes all material resistance that is going on, even resistance within the world. And that is evolution. That happens even within the receptive thought. The Christ spirit comes to the receptive thought, and at the point of spirit is always the birth. It always separates that which is real from that which is unreal and breaks down that which is unreal. But it's also going to break down that which is unreal within the unreceptive thought. So this already, we can hear the tone of evolution. Because evolution is lifting off the restraints of matter. Anytime we have material resistance being broken down, we have evolution, don't we? Because That is entropy, takes away material resistance. And so evolution is always God saying, I am throughout its creation. And when God is saying, I am throughout its creation, it's saying, I am mind. I am not mortal mind. It's lifting off the restraints of mortal mind. I am spirit. It evolves. I am not matter. See, I am soul. I am not a body. And therefore, we have the evolution of God saying, I am mind, spirit, soul. And then we have the taking away of the restraints from the mortal mind concept, the matter concept, the body concept. And that is what they see as entropy. It goes towards a heat death, and only the spirit, as we know, evolves. Though, as I've said, and others have said, that, and Max has shown then, too, that though there is this entropy, this de-evolution, so to speak, this retrogression towards a heat death in equilibrium, and that, as the writers in the world say, that the world may be going from a big bang to a big crunch, and that the black holes may indicate that, well, yeah, that's true. There's nothing that isn't true about that. The material world is, but the spiritual world we see on the other side is evolving. So it's just a question of which side you want to look at it from. If we want to focus on the spiritual side, which we do, we see the young girl evolving. If we look on the material side, we would just see it evolving towards the old woman in death. But that is even lifting off the restraints of matter and entropy is positive, because it's taking away the material into the land of Nod. So the second record of creation would just be an expose on the second law of thermodynamics or entropy, showing how matter dissipates until it finally comes to a state of normality or death and goes off and is excommunicated from the Lord. But we're watching the evolution going on the other side of the coin. So that's this subject of life as spirit, life in and of spirit, life in and of evolution. So we'll see now that tone, and as we know, we're going to roll up our sleeves, and as we did, I'm sure, last evening, began to get a feel of what this is all about. And so we'll read through the tone quickly, always the method of text interpretation, just to get the overall feel, and because these are short points, we can do it easily enough. If we went over page after page, then that's something I'd have had you done in your quiet time, and we would have taken it section by section. But let's listen now to life lifting off the restraints of the material concept, allowing spiritual evolution to take place. So on 133, line 19, Judaism was the antithesis of Christianity because Judaism endangered the limited form of a natural, engendered the limited form of a national or tribal religion. It was a finite and material system carried out in special theories concerning God, man, sanitary methods, and religious cultus. That he made himself equal with God was one of the Jewish acquisitions against him who planted Christianity on the foundation of spirit, who taught as he was inspired by the Father and would recognize no life, intelligence, nor substance outside of God. The Jewish conception of God as Yahweh, Jehovah, or only a mighty hero and king, was not quite given place to the true knowledge of God. Creeds and rituals have not cleansed their hands of rabbinical lore. Today the cry of bygone ages is repeated, crucify him. At every advancing step, truth is still opposed with sword and spear. The word martyr from the Greek means witness. But those who testified for truth were so often persecuted unto death that at length the word martyr was narrowed in its significance, and so has come always to mean one who suffers for his conviction. The new faith in the Christ truth so roused the hatred of the opponents of Christianity that the followers of Christ were burned, crucified, and otherwise persecuted. And so it came about that human rights were hallowed by the gallows and the cross. Man-made doctrines are waning. They have not waxed strong in times of trouble. Devoid of the Christ power, how can they illustrate the doctrines of Christ or the miracles of grace? Denial of the possibility of Christian healing robs Christianity of the very element which gave it divine force and its astonishing and unequal success in the first century. The true logos is demonstrably Christian science, the natural law of harmony, which overcomes discord, not because this science is supernatural or preternatural, nor because it is an infraction of divine law, but because it is the immutable law of God good. Jesus said, "I knew that thou hearest me always," and he raised Lazarus from the dead, stilled the tempest, healed the sick, walked on the water. There is divine authority for believing in the superiority of spiritual power over material resistance. A miracle fulfills God's law, but does not violate that law. This fact at present seems more mysterious than the miracle itself. The psalmist sang, "What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back, ye mountains, that ye skipped like rams, and ye little hills like lambs. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of God of Jacob." The miracle introduces no disorder, but unfolds the primal order, establishing the science of God's unchangeable law. Spiritual evolution alone is worthy of the exercise of divine power. Isn't she beautiful? Right at the end, she summarizes her whole point. Spiritual evolution is worthy of the exercise of, the life of divine power. Saying that's the point that I've been saying over all this paragraph. It's that life power, that Christ power that brings to us the life power, which alone is worthy of the exercise of that divine power, and hence we have spiritual evolution. When she says these things, her economy of words are just so beautiful, where we see that science and consciousness are at work in the economy of being. All right, so we take up our example of the text on page 133 first. Oh, and let's color the epitome first. Therefore, we see that life is spirit. The Christ spirit is the tone of life, so we color it life. And overcomes is the tone of what overcomes? Truth. All is a tone of love. Material resistance? Opposite of spirit. All right, good. Wonderful. All right, so now we color the starting on page 133. Judaism, what did that always stand for? Judaism? Opposite of life. The opposite of its old theology, isn't it? That's right. When was the antithesis the opposite of spirit? Judaism was in any time we have opposites, it's spirit, isn't it? Spirit is that synonymous term which handles duality, saying that mind is the only reality. Therefore, we have that handling of duality and spiritualism at the point of spirit. Judaism was the antithesis of Christianity. Well, it's the opposite of the true theology, because Judaism engendered the limited form. Well, wonder what limited form would be of a national or tribal religion. See, if we don't hear it now, we can come back to it.
The national federal religion, wouldn't that be life?
All right, that would be the opposite of life. Limited form would be?
Death.
off. What's the tone there? What's it saying? What does limited form stand for? It's, and what's the limited truth in this particular context? Life, tribal religion as spirit. What? Okay. See, it's just thinking. It's limited form. It's okay. This is fine. But it's always pinpointed to where we are at the particular point. So the limited form would be a material concept, really, of a national or tribal religion, because the limited form is always the limited form of life as spirit. So what we'll see, that limited form means, oh well, it's just a material concept of a tribal religion. But this is where context determines the meaning. We could look and say limited form, that might be soul and truth. Form means truth. See, that's the wordy sense of text interpretation. That's what I'll keep drilling over the next 3 days with us, to get out of looking for words and listening to tones. So limited form just stands for the limited form of life is spirit. Well, the limited form of spirit is something material, some kind of material resistance, some kind of material concept. Do you see how meaning is relational? The context determines the meaning. And so we don't look for words, we look for tones. Method's important. If we see it, fine. If we don't, fine. Just have a good time this week. We have the tapes. We can go back over this. So if we're just getting a faint gleam of what I mean at this moment, wonderful. Just hang on to the gleam and we go on. So always remember then, that's a big point of text interpretation. I just repeat myself for the class, that meaning is relational. That's something you can just write down. That something is empty until informed by the context. So this sense of limited form under life as soul would take on a different tone. Or what's the limited form of life in mind? What would that limited form have been? Belief? False concepts? Unreceptive thought? That would have been the limited form there, wouldn't it? Of life. Can you hear? Isn't that wonderful? So she could have said limited form in life as mind and meant the unreceptive thought. Here she says limited form at life as spirit and means material concepts or material resistance. Isn't that wonderful? That's text interpretation. Meaning determines the context. So we can't have a wordy sense, as I'm repeating my sense, because we listen for context. We listen to the way it's used in the sentence. Now she'll tell you it, that's what that meant. It was a finite and material system, see? That's what that limited form is. It's a finite and material concept. So finite and material system is the opposite of spirit, the material concept. Carried out in special theories concerning God, man, sanitary methods, and religious cultus. That he made himself equal with God is what? That Jesus made himself equal with God. Did Jesus make himself equal with God? What made Jesus equal with God? Christ. See, that's that whole sense of Christ. The Christ makes us equal with God. We don't. We would never be equal with God, would we? We'd wear the dirty robes every day. But the Christ comes to us and overturns everything in us that isn't like God. So the Christ always makes us equal with God. Jesus didn't do that. The Emmanuel does. That he made himself equal with God was one of the Jewish accusations against. Yes, against. All right, against is always opposed. In this context, the opposite of spirit. Him who planted Christianity on the foundation of spirit. Here, Christianity stands for the true theology on the foundation of spirit. We have the life, the spirit tone. We're talking about a life a theology, a living theology, which is on the foundation of spirit. Isn't this what we're under consideration, isn't it? Life is spirit. That's a very clear, clear tone, isn't it? Simple. She couldn't have said it any easier, could she, Wynn? Sometimes she makes life a little easy for us. So we have that life which is on the foundation of spirit, that theology which is on the foundation of spirit, who taught as he was inspired by the Father. That is a tone of life with the Christ impulsion behind it. He taught as he was inspired by the Christ idea to be inspired by life, the Father, and would recognize no life. Well, no, spirit is the only life, intelligence nor substance outside of God. Well, Jesus recognized no life or substance outside of God, and God stands for here, spirit. Therefore, Jesus recognized no life or substance outside of God's spirit. He only saw life in and of spirit. That's that point where Mrs. Eddy was healed, wasn't she? She says that she saw that life was in and of spirit, in and of spiritual evolution, not in and of matter. Well, that was easy, wasn't it?
What were theories?
Theories? It was a finite, and well, we have to take it not just a word. Theories, we would say, is principle, wouldn't we, if we did a wordy sense. So we have to read it within the context if it's important within what we're talking about. So it was a finite and material system carried out in special theories concerning God. Well, it was a finite and material system which was carried out in special theories concerning God, man, sanitary methods. It's that opposite of a spirit. It's that material system. It's that material theories, opposite of spirit. So let's go on to the next marginal heading. Mm-hmm. Oh, antipathetic. Well, that means what? What does it mean?
Dislike.
Mm-hmm. Opposite. That has that whole sense of the opposite also, isn't it? It's not like. It's actually antipathetic. It's not like God, huh? Mm-hmm. All right. So we go on and mark it. The Jewish conception of God as Yahweh, Jehovah. What was that Jewish conception of God as Yahweh, Jehovah, in the second record of creation? She's referring here to that old theology's conception, not to the first, because we know that the first record of creation has another meaning for Jehovah than the second record of creation, old theology. So here she's saying the old theological, we could put that in the opposite of our life tone. The old theological concept of God as Yahweh, Jehovah, what was it?
Materialism.
And therefore God, Jehovah, was what in their eyes? What was that God? What kind of a God?
Partial
God, a warlike God, a God that knew good and evil, duality. So you see, it's the opposite of spirit, that God, Jehovah. It wasn't finally the God that the priestly document presented in the first record of creation, where God was Jehovah and Elohim are the same meaning. Jehovah in the priestly document means the I am that I am. I am the promise and the fulfillment. But here, in the old document, that Jehovah is a warlike God. So therefore, it's the opposite of spirit. So the Jewish conception of God's spirit was Yahweh, Jehovah, a dualistic God, the opposite of spirit. Or only, meaning that was the only, it's the opposite of that God, Yahweh, which is the I am that I am. Only a mighty hero and king has not quite given place. See, it hasn't quite evolved, has it? spirit as life. Life is spirit. Life in and of spirit. You could have both tones there. That it hasn't yet evolved to the true knowledge of God. Spirit. All right?
True knowledge of God is spirit?
Yes, well, God's spirit. No, not true knowledge of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that old theological concept of God as Jehovah, as duality, has not yet evolved. Life hasn't been touched yet by that sense of life in and of spirit. It hasn't evolved to the true knowledge of God, to the true knowledge of God, which is life in and of spirit, theology in and of spirit. Creeds and rituals, the opposite of life in and of spirit, old theology, which hasn't evolved, have not cleansed. They haven't been purified. Their hands of rabbinical lore. Today the cry of bygone ages is repeated. Isn't that the opposite of life? To repeat. To repeat, to repeat. Today that repetition of life in and of material resistance goes on. It just keeps repeating itself. Crucify him. Now we hear life in and of spirit. Every advancing step, that's the tone of life is spirit. Truth is still opposed. The opposite of spirit. With sword and spear. Isn't that wonderful? Are we hearing it? Wonderful. It's just a beautiful expose. Now let's stop. I'm going to go from marginal heading to marginal heading and then show how I would have abstract that while that just that part is still strong in my mind. So we come to the abstraction for these two marginal headings. And we say, okay, now let's... We have a wonderful tonality already on how that old theology is just a material concept of life in and of material resistance, in and of a finite form. But on the other hand, we have the new theology of based on spirit, on the evolution of spirit that wants to go forward. Yet that new theology that wants to go forward is being opposed by this finite material concept. We heard that, didn't we? Okay. I'll just feel if you remember to ask questions. This is a workshop, and I want to help. So if you have any questions, please ask. Otherwise, I'd just go on. So what I do in my notes is often like to counteract. On one side of the page, I see what is the spirit tone, the truth tone, the right concept, let's say, that which is spirit and that which is opposed.